Yeah, ready to go then?
Yep. You still check? Just waiting on the recording.
Okay.
You're good to go now.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay, so I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. And as we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Attendees in the chamber must switch off their delicate microphone when they are not speaking. Attendees in the chamber using their laptops to join the meeting virtually must ensure that they mute their laptop speakers and laptop microphone. At home, you must mute their laptop microphone when they are not speaking and should, where possible, use a headset, headphones or earphones. All attendees should pin the cameras of the chamber and the chair in their Teams meeting by right-clicking on each and selecting pin. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, you use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on your microphone within the chamber. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. And just to remind you that when using the instant messenger, Q for a question, P to propose, and S to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messaging feature. If two members ask to propose, the first, having indicated, will become the proposer, and the second member, having indicated, will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and the seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Thank you. Okay, so any apologies, Sarah or Donna?
No apologies, Chair. No.
Any declarations of interest?
None. Chair, sorry, Chair. Although it's for noting, the Staverman shed, although it's only for note.
Yes, no problem. Thank you, Councillor Giddens. Item number 3 in the agenda, action sheet arising from the AHC committee meeting held on the 19th of April. Any issues arising? Charlie?
Yeah, thanks, Leon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
I think it's on page 5. It's to do with freeways and refurbishing. I think it's number 036 on the report. I know there has been some damage on the freeways football pitch this last, over the last number of days. Will that be factored into any refurbishing plans? And one other thing that the group have asked me about user groups, are they able to book for user groups, and is there a date set for reopening community centres? Anybody else? That? Julie there or Janine Hillen?
Yes, Chair, I can take the
question in relation to the reopening of community centres. Johnny, I just sent you a quick email to explain that we're waiting on some more restrictions, guidelines being issued from the Executive Office. When we get that information, we'll have a clearer idea of what activities can proceed and what restrictions will be in place around them. We're hoping that that's going to be issued on the 24th of May, and we're trying to work individually with groups to get them compliant for reopening. So we're working on a case-by-case basis with groups, but until we get more information on the 24th, we're not really sure what's going to be permitted and what is not.
I accept that, Janine. Thanks very much. What about the damage that was done to Treeways quite recently? Is that will that factor into any reopening plans that they might have?
Was that in relation to the pitch, Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't imagine there will be any issues, but I'll follow it up and get back to you directly with some comments, maybe from Julie, if that's okay.
Appreciate that, Janine. Thank you. Thanks, Leanne.
Not at all. Okay, Cathy, Councillor Mason.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, it's on page 6 of the action sheet, which is basically looking for a bit of an update if there was one on the sports facility strategy. I know that it was agreed at a previous AHC meeting about the consultant being brought on board, so I was just wondering if there was any update. The other thing, it's not actually on the action sheet, but it arose at the full council meeting, was to do with the a possible update on the financial call and the request that some of the groups who hadn't been awarded funding, would we be able to possibly look at mopping up those applications. I'm not sure whether it's right to bring it up under the action sheet or not, but
go ahead, Michael.
Sure. Yeah, in terms of the second item, yeah, we would intend to bring another report back to the committee on that as soon as we have had the review of budgets and so on as was requested. So hopefully we'll be in a position to do that next month. In terms of the first question, I forgot what it was now, actually.
Strategy.
Yes, that's coming up later on in the agenda, Chair.
No problem. All right, Cathy.
Yes, thank you.
We'll move on to item number 4, the Peace Plus consultation. Janine?
Yes, Chair members, last month at AHC we brought you a paper and members agreed that we would issue a draft response to the Peace Plus consultation, and this response would be submitted in advance of full approval at council because of the deadlines. So we're back in front of you this evening, Chair, to get approval for the draft that's attached. And get final approval and listen to any comments that members have.
Chair, only too happy to propose the recommendations outlined in the paper.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Trainor's happy to second?
Happy to second, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 5, financial assistance update on call 2 and call 3.
Yes. Sure, this is a paper, an update paper on the outcomes from financial assistance call 2, which opened across March and April. The themes were agreed by AHC previously. They were PCSP, good relations, let's grow together, and suicide prevention. We're seeking approval for the applications that were deemed successful, and they're all detailed in your appendices. We're going to work with groups as usual to make sure all paperwork is in before letters of offer are issued. And finally, Chair, we seek approval from committee in relation to the themes that we contained within call 3. We have said in the paper that we're hoping to go out to call 3 in June. But relating to the queries that Councillor Mason had referenced at the beginning of the meeting also, we may have a delay on that timescale because Michael is trying to secure some funding through COVID recovery monies, and that will impact on the budget we have available to go out to financial assistance call. So while we'll say in June, we may await the outcome of that, see if we can get more money, and then finalise the budgets and possibly go out in July.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Janine. So I just need a proposer and a seconder. And then for item number 5.
So Councillor O'Hare is happy to propose, and Councillor Mason seconded. Thank you. So item number six, the DEA forms update.
Standard monthly report, Chair and members, giving you an overview of activities and looking for approval for 6 out of the 7 DEA action sheets.
Councillor Finnegan has a question.
Okay.
Well, yeah, no, it's more of a comment just based on the DEA. I just want to bring up the point. I know I'm sure we're all aware, but I just want to bring up the point of the poor uptake at the census in the south of our area. The area has the poorest percentage of uptake, and this will have a considerable financial implications within the South Armagh area. So the specific areas of poor or low returns is Cullyhanna, Newton Hamilton, Cross of Lane, Cullabilla, Slea and Silverbridge. And I just propose that we continue to share this on council social media and as councillors. Since it was been shared, I've found that those coming forward to the office, although I don't know the exact numbers of those that have now returned the forms, but it certainly have it's given those the push that hadn't filled it out to come forward. So I think that needs to just continue to be shared, and word needs to go out. I am aware that the date was the 16th, we're now on the 17th, but I do believe, I looked on the website, and they're still allowing census forms to come through. I just think that that's really important for the South of my area, that is noted. All right, thank you.
I'm going to take Barra, and I know Councillor Gaynor has proposed, but Barra has a question or comment also. Is that okay, John?
Perfect, Chair, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the same issue, Chair, and happy to second Councillor Finnegan's proposal there. Yeah, look, it's a big thing, it's a big deal, especially when you're talking about funding, potential funding that's going to come out as a result of the census returns and that. And just, I wanted to maybe try and drill down and let and see, Janine, can you maybe go through Tasha in the Steve Gullion DEA and ask, has she been able to get in touch with some of the group that are working with the ethnic minorities, in particular in the Newtown area with the Bulgarian Roma community? And to see there's a feeling locally, we've been sharing it on our social media, and a lot of people are coming back and saying that they've filled it out, and there are people contacting our office and saying they filled it out, and some people need assistance to get filled out. That's all well and good in that, but it's just finding out if that significant group of foreign nationals were able to access it and were able to fill it out, and how literate some of them may be. So Janine, if you could possibly get on to Tasha and even ask if she wants to contact me about it, that'll be fine.
Well, through the chair, we did go through council's marketing department to reissue a notification around getting the census completed, and the South Armagh area was the top of the list in terms of priority. I'll go through Tasha, and we'll also maybe have a word with our minority support services in council and see if there's been any feedback, and maybe they can promote the need for all people to complete the census. So we'll go both ways with that one.
That's great, thank you. Any happy enough, Barra and Aoife? That's great. So Councillor Traynor proposed with Barra seconding, yeah? Okay, so item number 7 is violence against women and girls. Janine?
Yes, Chair, this is on the back of a notice of motion presented to Council in April, I think, primarily on violence against women. It also relates to two previous notice of motions, misogyny against women and also domestic violence that Council have tabled recently. Part of this, we have been asked to consider a financial assistance theme for local groups to assist in dealing with the issues arising. So the paper goes into some of the detail around what we're doing currently on the back of the notice of motions, primarily safe place training, let's talk about sexual harassment and everything you need to know about consent. But the purpose of the paper this evening is to get approval, Chair, to release a specific financial assistance call in call one of the next financial year. And we will spend our time in the meantime in trying to seek an external budget or trying to ring fence something we already have
in the budget.
Yeah, that's great, Janine. Thank you. I have a proposal and a seconder, but Councillor Mason wants to come in either with a question or a comment.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Ilya. I think it's a great report, and I specifically think that the funding and stuff like that for the educational part of it will be fantastic. It's more just a suggestion, I suppose, than anything, because I know that it sets out that there's a regional strategy due to be developed as well, and I do think it's going to be a long-term approach. But even within the council, I know the Women's Working Group was to be set up, and it's maybe a possibility that they could kind of, it could be an item on their agenda, and they could work in conjunction with the AHC committee in terms of just driving it forward and maybe creating a longer term strategy with it within the council. But no, really welcome the report, Janine, and I think it's fantastic that we'll be looking at that source of funding and things like that for too. So fair play.
Thank you. So that's proposed by Councillor McKevitt and seconded by Councillor Traynor. All right, so item number 8 on our agenda is the expansion of the Drumminess Snooker Club located at the first floor at the Dan Rice Hall.
Yes, me again, Chair. This club currently operates out of the Dan Rice Hall in Drumminess. They have contacted council to request the use of a meeting room adjacent to their current club, and they would like to put another snooker table in. It would involve renovation works, and normally we would, Chair, consider this request under the sporting and community lease policy, but we've consulted with our legal team and we're content that this could be an extension to their existing agreement with council. So we've been working closely with the group. We do have a business case in now and a completed EOI, and they have gone through some of the requirements in relation to building control. So we're seeking approval to proceed with getting valuations for the rental around both rooms and look at a lease agreement or license agreement going forward. Sorry.
That's great. Okay, well, Councillor Mason has proposed, and I'll take Councillor Andrews as the seconder. Sorry.
Yes, Chair. Only if you're happy to second Councillor Mason's proposal that we accept the recommendations as outlined in Section 3 of the paper. Thank you.
That's great. Okay, so item number 9 on the agenda is the Carnegie Trust.
Yep, thank you, Chair. I'll take that. Just a little bit of background for the committee members. I have been asked to look after community planning for a period of time, and as a result, some of the community planning papers are coming here for consideration. So that's why this paper is in front of you. Basically, the paper covers a report by the Carnegie Trust, which was funded through the Embedding Wellbeing in Northern Ireland project, and it supported three community planning partnerships. This was a bidding bidding opportunity where councils' partnerships had to bid to be part of this trial. So the three councils there mentioned were involved. As a result, a paper was sent to SOLAS outlining the key recommendations from the Carnegie Trust work, and those are included for members. Don't intend to go through them all. Most of them aren't surprising. They're the type of thing we've been talking about over the years since community planning came in. It seeks to address some of the issues and concerns that councils and the planning, community planning partnerships have had over that period of time. The most notable, I suppose, of those is the recommendation that the NI executives should fund NISRA staff in the 11 councils. They currently fund NISRA staff in the three pilot councils that were chosen, and that it is suggested that that should be expanded for all councils. You'll be aware that we do have already a data analyst in the community planning structures, and that post has been there, I think, for the last 5 years. So we are proposing a slight amendment to that, which is the council should enter into discussions with DFC on how they would implement the recommendations, in particular resourcing statistical support for the partnership. So I suppose what we're saying in that is, if there is funding going for an officer, we would like the funding. We would like then the freedom to be able to decide how we fill that post. I don't know that it's at all necessary to have a NISRA statistician embedded. However, if that's the only way we can achieve the funding, then obviously that's what we'll do. But that's the only real change to any of the recommendations as set out in the paper. So, Chair, our recommendation is that the committee recommends that Council endorses these recommendations.
Okay. And one of our proposer and Councillor Traynor with a question.
More a comment, Chair, and I suppose it's, I think Michael's already maybe highlighted that one of the big issues and certainly one of the big themes that comes from community planning is the lack of funding that came with it and the burden then that has to be picked up by councils. And there are a number of statutory partners that sit around the table, but there isn't a similar funding that's coming from those statutory partners. So council and then the repair have to pick up the burden. So it's only right that the executive look at funding community planning going forward in the next programme for government.
Okay, so we need a seconder.
Julie seconded, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you.
Terry. Okay, so item number 10, leisure reopening.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that we are again at this point of trying to reopen indoor leisure. I'm sure members have had a number of queries, etc., about the reopening of our leisure centres. And I suppose as per the phase reopening plan, as per Appendix 1, that is how we plan to reopen. One of the challenging points at this stage is although we've been given an indicative date, that's been communicated for quite some time now, around the 24th of May, the detail is still yet to come. On what that looks like, and given the changing of restrictions that we've had on every time we've reopened, that hasn't exactly, the restrictions haven't been the same. We unfortunately have to wait until the 20th of May and the announcement on that Thursday in terms of until we see the detail of that and how that rolls out. But in saying that, we do anticipate the likes of sports groups, classes, you know, family swimming, those sort of things to be able to be accommodated, hopefully, given those announcements, and we're going to be trying to put that in place as soon as possible. But we'll just have to work through the announcements on the Thursday and get clarifications based on that. The recommendation also outlines maybe how we want to come back in terms of prioritising our space and our occupancy of our leisure facilities, which is something that I suppose that we are concerned about. And you'll see in the recommendation of the report that's outlined, I suppose, in a prioritisation list about how we plan to do that to ensure that, I suppose, a number of historical bookings and those sort of things are accommodated first and foremost. But I'm happy to take any questions, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Charlie, Councillor Casey has a question.
Thanks, Leon. Thanks very much. Paul, it's about the slight reopening, and I understand and appreciate the fact that the leisure centres are a massive income generator for our councils. I think this question may have been asked before, direct debit payments that people have paid or continue to pay, or have all direct debits been stopped, and then now from the 24th of May with this tentative reopening, will people be asked to re-establish those methods of payment, or how are we going to work that, Paul?
Just to clarify through the chair, the discounts are being applied based on the restrictions. So we did open gyms and swimming pools on an individual training basis from the 1st of May or the 30th of April, actually. As a result of that, there was 50% discount applied to those memberships. Depending on the announcements tomorrow, we anticipate maybe classes will hopefully be allowed to go back to that. If you look at it, then gyms, swimming pools and classes can come back, then it's probably applying a 75% or 25% discount, if you like, to that membership fee, because we we don't anticipate things like health suites and those sorts of things to be able to reopen at that stage. However, it's going to have to be based on announcements of what's reopening. But essentially what we've done is applied discounts based on the access, if you like, that is allowed during that time. And so that has been welcomed by a number of members, and those things, and we'll just continue to apply those as the restrictions get relaxed.
Yeah, that would have been my next question. You sort of answered it. Are the people, the customers, happy enough with that? The current arrangements, Paul, you seem to indicate that a fair percentage of them are.
Yeah, we've had a number of people come back, but in saying that, we've also had a number of people that maybe aren't ready to come back and have cancelled memberships and those sorts of things as well. Likewise, we've had people renew at the same token as well. But no, I think people think it's a fair approach, I suppose, is what we're getting back. And it's, we know that there's other councils that aren't applying that. They're applying 100% costs against these, but I suppose we've been a wee bit more accommodating in this council by applying the 50% discount.
That's good to hear that. Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks, Leon.
Not at all, Charlie. Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chair. First one's going to be a wee bit parochial. We're looking at the Ballymote Centre, and I obviously see that we're talking about it being closed with the exception of statutory and essential bookings. I'm assuming that youth service would fall under the remit of the statutory bookings, which would mean then that the youth room would be available in both periods up to now and moving forward from the 24th of May. That's the first part. The second one, not so parochial. I know that there's a paper on the committee for later in closed session, but I see from phase two we're looking at the Tropicana with the planned seasonal open being July and August. And the question that I have is, are we expecting then that the Tropicana will be in use this summer then?
Sure. Through Chair, just in terms of Ballymote, we do anticipate the youth service can continue to use it. They're actually in at the moment, and we're accommodating those statutory bookings as we go. We do have the lateral flow centre identified, which I think was approved this week at the SPNR committee for Ballymote, which will be utilised in our gym area, which is actually out of use anyway due to the guidance around ventilation and those sorts of things. But yeah, we'll continue to accommodate essential bookings, and we do also within that anticipate club bookings to be able to be accommodated in the sports hall, if you like, within Ballymote, which probably was one of the main, demands, if you like, that we anticipate coming into this next phase. In terms of Tropicana, we do anticipate Tropicana will be in place for July and August, subject to restrictions. Our only reason or rationale that we think we won't be operating that seasonal facility this year is if the restrictions don't allow that to happen. And there's a lot of hard work going in place right now to ensure that it's up and running and going to be fit for purpose and compliant. You will remember there was previous report brought to this committee to approve £150,000 worth of, upgrade measures to that facilities, and that what you'll see in the later items is that, being put in place.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Timothy. Just wondering, really, what sort of in this sort of prioritisation here, what phase sort of classes and sort of swimming lessons would fall into? Because I mean, I know you. You know, through various conversations, you know, I know you share how you view sport and how the recovery it's going to play. So I know, I'm just curious as to what where you see. I know you can't see the impossible answer. The question is when it will come back, obviously on the regulations. But I'm just curious as to whereabouts it fits in there. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you, Chair. Well, in terms of council-led swimming lessons, obviously that fits into prioritisation three in terms of internal leisure activity and programs. Again, what often happens with these restrictions is then we look at the governing bodies for those particular sports, and they often dictate whether things can or can't come back. And so all being well, we'll look at those and see if they are allowed to return, and if so, we'll put things in place for that to happen. Hope that clarifies the matter in terms of council-led program.
Happy enough, Andy?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Malone?
I'd like to ask Paul. Paul, I was contacted by a number of members of the gym regarding the TVs and the wee running machines that haven't been working for quite a while.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, Councillor Malone. I will contact, I wasn't aware of that. I'll contact that and see if we can follow up and get them operational.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, so, not at all. I just need a proposal or a seconder then for item number 10.
Proposed, Chair.
Councillor Traynor, happy to, and Barb, happy to second.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 11, the outdoor recreation search level agreement.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members be aware that we have regularly been bringing a service level agreement with outdoor recreation and NI back to committee for approval in terms of the delivery of our community trail and, I suppose, implementing our community trail plans across the district. This is an SLA for the current year, 21-22, and I suppose the detail of that is in the reports and also in Appendix 1. And so the recommendation is to, I suppose, approve the service level agreement with Outdoor Recreation NI for this financial year for £75,410.
Okay, so we have a proposer and a seconder. So Cathy Mason is proposing and Councillor O'Hare is seconding. So Cathy, you've also a question. Do you want to come in there?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Well, here, first of all, just to say, like, what a massive success these trails have been. And I know that there's been a huge amount of effort and work from lots of council officials on it. And I know even with the signage and different things in the bins and stuff that are going in at the minute, it's just been absolutely fantastic. And huge thanks to everybody that's been involved in them. It's great to see there as well the extension to the Tate and Darragh car park. And it was basically, well, you only have to drive past there to see the amount of use that it's having and the parking and stuff on the roads, which is causing a bit of a hassle at the minute, but it's an excellent sign to just how much they are being used. And it was basically just if there was a ballpark timescale of when that might happen. The other part is as well just the progress and feasibility of the Bright to Connacht temporary wood in Inchalby. I know personally from living very close to the Connacht one, how fantastic that would be for the local community there, and how well used it actually would be, and obviously with Bright there as well. So again, it was just, I know that is the feasibility being done in that, but if that, you know, was to come back, is there a time scale on when they might be pursued as well? So like I say, I really can't stress enough how fantastic these have been, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. I suppose just to respond to a couple of those, that in terms of the progress and feasibility, scoping, assessment and development, generally what happens is they'll probably move into the next phase after that in terms of planning applications and those things, and that will probably be in next year's ECLA, and then all being well and those go through the process, then the following year after that, that's when the delivery option of them happens. So that's generally the phase. Sometimes things can move quicker or not, depending on the scope and the level of development that's required, but that's probably a bit of an indicative time scale for those things. I suppose just to reiterate around timescales in January, particularly for the delivery projects for this year, they are subject to funding. We have those 5 funding applications in this year to the likes of TRIPSI and NIEA. So they're all subject to those fundings getting approved potentially and being successful. And then after that, I suppose what I would like to caveat, I suppose, as part of this is that depending on when we get letters of offer can often depend on whether we can actually deliver a project or not. And I suppose in previous timescales, you know, we haven't had letters of offer from likes until January with delivery, you know, anticipated to be before the 31st of March. That puts offices under a lot of pressure. Some of those timescales are unrealistic, considering that once we get a letter of offer, we still have to go through the procurement process of appointing a contractor and then actually getting the project delivered on the ground. So that is really, really tight. So we do plan to write to our funders. If successful, we would need to receive we're hoping to receive letters offer before September, October to give us that scope and timescale to get things delivered. And so we feel that's really important that we start managing the expectations of funders to, in terms of us being able to deliver. But hopefully that answers the question, Councillor Mason.
Happy enough, Councillor?
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor O'Hara, Jerry, do you want to come in there?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Yeah, just getting on with Cathy's leaving off. It's great news now, Paul, you know, especially I welcome the start of the pump track in Hilltown that I've been torturing you about probably for the last 6 months. At least it's beginning to take some headway or another. I know this will be a great asset for especially for the children at Hilltown and even the wider Crocleave area, basically, because I'm sure every little village in the county, there's very little place for children to ride their bikes, you know. So, yeah, all good, Paul. But again, as Cathy's saying, it could take a year or two for this to sort of shape up, Paul.
Yeah, I suppose you'll see in SLA the delivery projects for this year are in there. But, you know, there is a lot of planning that goes into this. You have to design the trails for them to be able to be submitted to the planning option. There's a lot of ecology work that's often requested as part of that planning process. And so, you know, it isn't something that can be turned around overnight a lot of the time for these. And so that's why those scoping plans are in place to allow us to work towards getting those deliveries.
That's great, Paul. Thanks. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Paul, Chair. Councillor Trainer.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I suppose this is just a question just on the back of Paul obviously indicating around Fountain and where Fountain's coming from. Obviously, Minister Mallon last June had released a $20 million fund for blue-green projects, and my question is really, would any of these community trails fall within the thematic area for that blue-green fund, and is the council able to apply through that fund for funding for any of the proposed applications that are in front of us?
Generally, I'm not sure about the criteria, but generally it's in line with infrastructure. I think it's coming through the Department for Infrastructure. A lot of these trails potentially could be available for that, and outdoor recreation, I do scope the number of areas, not just TRIPSE, not just NIEA, but also look at Sport NI in a number of areas. And so, like, if they were eligible, they'd certainly be exploring those options for those. But I suppose historically, a lot of our funding does come from the likes of TRIPSE and NIE because we meet their needs on their rural basis and those sorts of things too. But we're not ruling anything out, and if they meet the criteria and there's an opportunity for them to apply for that, then that'll be taken and looked at by Outdoor Recreation and I.
Just Chair, if we can ensure that is happening, it's just that I know that there has been maybe some confusion from my own conversations with a number of officers across our council area in relation to the eligibility of the Blue Green Fund. And I know, for instance, I've been talking to one of our colleagues within the AHC in relation to Brigg and Ballyhornan about the availability of being able to utilise the Blue Green Fund for connecting pathways in Ballyhornan. And obviously, these community trails are certainly a part of this whole idea of getting people more active within their communities. And it's just the thematic area, it sounds as if they fall within the thematic area. So if we could just maybe get clarity if, you know, these sorts of projects are able to fall within that fund. Again, I know that there's been very little uptake of that fund from any council across the north. So if these projects were able to be funded through that, we should be exploring trying to get that funding.
It's okay. We'll ensure that Outdoor Recreation and I consider that. I do think Connor Mallon and SPNR are leading on that council's response to that fund, from my understanding, but we certainly explore this.
Yes.
Thanks, Chair.
If I can just come in briefly, Chair. Yeah, the ERT department are leading on that. They're aware of all of our trails that we're currently under development and the ones that we're considering developing. So those will form part of their considerations when we send our application into the department. So any of these that do fall within that, we will certainly be seeking the funding. But I do know that they are aware of all of these, and I'm actually meeting with Connor Malland, who's the director, later on in the week. So.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. And, the community trails have been great. They've been a great asset. I know they're looked on in envy in other council areas, and they're actually used as a good, how I want to thank our officers as well, just because how we've developed them, you know, is a great template for other council areas with which to follow. So it's really, really good. We've certainly led the way, and thank you very much. Not gonna lie, my eyes were drawn to the pump track, number 5 at the bottom. It's really good. Jerry, Councillor O'Hare, all I'm going to say is, yes, it's very important for the children, but, dude, they're so much fun. Get your bike out. We'll hit a few laps of it. We'll smash some laps out when we get there. But all I wanted to just crazy to say is, it says a couple of points. A point of my specialist designed the pump track. Will we, I know Orney are heading it up, but will we get a view of sort of what specifications the pump track is to be developed, designed to? And secondly, I suppose, point number 7 then says securing the necessary funding and business cases to fund the project. One would assume then that the cost at the bottom of point 5 isn't necessarily the total cost and hopefully budget that will be attributed to said pump track. But again, if other councillors aren't really maybe sure what I'm banging on about when it comes to this pump track, there's one up the road in Clinchy, which outside the community centre, which is absolutely fantastic. Packed out, scooters, skateboards, bikes. They really, really are a draw for lots of people, including nearly 40-year-old people who should know better than to mess about in bikes quite so much. But thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Murray. Maybe I'll just respond to that. But I suppose those costs you see in point 5 are really just for development costs and looking at it. They wouldn't be the cost for the capital cost for the actual rollout of a pump track. Yes, we will get input into that design process, albeit that specialists, I suppose, in that area will be used to design it and those sorts of things. So it's about that appointment, and that's probably what those funds are. They are not the capital costs associated with that program, and we would anticipate that hopefully identifying a funding stream, firstly, to be able to support that capital cost.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, if I can come in there as well. Chair, members will be aware that Orney come along once a year, usually a number of months after you've agreed their SLA for that year, to update on the progress in the previous year and to update on the progress that they intend to make in the current year. Part of that will be to show at least some indicative designs of what a pump track may look like in that area. And we'll make sure when they do come along for their presentation that the design, if it's moving ahead at all, the design will be included in that presentation, if that's okay.
That's great. Thank you, Michael. Okay, so we had a proposal from seconder for item number 11 being Councillor Mason and seconded by Councillor O'Hara. So we'll move on to item number 12, the fair trade signage. Owen, do you want to come in there?
Thanks, Chair. Members recall we tabled this originally last month, and then it was decided at the full council to put it back to reconsider. As the previous occasion, there were three options. I think it was requested at full council that it was put back along with the paper which showed the examples of the options within option one. So previously we had recommended option one, but at this time officers aren't recommending any of the three options and just will allow committee to decide. Previous decision was to go with option 3, which was just to promote via social media channels. So we're in the committee's hands here.
Okay, so Councillor Andrew, do you want to come in there with a comment?
Yes, Chair, thanks so much. And first of all, I'd like to thank the officers for preparing the paper and as agreed at the actions of the last council meeting to bring it back to AHC for their attention. And as I say, I'm very supportive of the paper and also the proposal that we go for option one. The design is a very catchy one, and on the approach to the district, I will send out a clear message that we are a fair trade district and support the campaign on the basis of what fair trade is all about. So I'm only too happy tonight to propose that we go ahead with option one as outlined in the paper. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McCabe, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, thanks very much, Leanne, and can thank the officers for their report. For £1,200, I'm actually seconding Terry Andrews' proposal for option one for £1,200 for the work that the Fair Trade Working Committee has done and on their information that has come from our last meeting tonight. I think Warren Point was the first time that actually gained the fair trade status, and to have this recognised right across the district with a small sign underneath our own signage for such a small fee, I'm actually seconding the proposal.
Thank you. Barr, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, just that our group is more than happy to support option one. Thanks for the clarity in that, I suppose, from the last AHC meeting. We're a bit baffled as to the figures that two signs was going to cost £700, but 21 of them was going to cost £1,100. So made better fiscal sense for us to go for the whole lot of them all in one. I'm not sure if that's a typo or what it is, but
sir, no, Chair, if I can just clarify, no, the signs option two were like big signs on roundabouts.
Oh, right.
A program where the other ones are a small strip on existing signs. So no, it is correct. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's good. Happy to go with option one. Good stuff.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, officers, for bringing back the sample for everybody to see, and I think the support. It means a whole lot to show everybody that we're behind Fair Trade 100%. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So happy enough, Owen.
Yeah, thank you.
So items number 13 to 15 are for noting, unless anyone has any comment. If not, items then number 16 to 21 all need to be discussed in committee. So I need a proposer and a seconder to go into committee. Okay, so Councillor Traynor has proposed with Councillor McKevitt seconding.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just give us a minute to be
no problem.
Get things organised. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, there's a member of the press back on and recording has started if you want to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Donna, I think you're getting the job of reading out in committee items this evening, if that's okay.
Not a problem, Chair. Whilst in committee, the following items were discussed and agreed. Item 16, Active and Healthy Communities Procurement Action Plan. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Traynor, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, to approve the Active and Healthy Communities Procurement Action Plan. Item number 17, Single Tender Action for Indoor Leisure Fire Alarms. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor O'Meara, to approve the increase of the current Single Tender Action for Indoor Leisure Fire Alarms as outlined within the officer's report. Item 18, Kilkeel Bowling Pavilion, Public Tender. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to bring a further report back to the Active and Healthy Community Committee's meeting. Item 19, Sports Club Leases and Service Level Agreements, COVID-19 Impact. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Traynor, for sports clubs that have a lease or seasonal hire arrangements in place with Council to receive a reduction in fee charges for 2020-21, as per Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. Item number 20, the Social Investment Fund Legal Fees. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Trainor, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, to approve payment of the legal fees associated with the legal charges for Ballyhorn and 3G pitch and change facilities. Item 21, business case for replacing windows within the original section of the Danrise Hall. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Mason, to approve the following. To accept the business case for the replacement of windows within the original section of the Danrise Hall, submittal of a planning application for the replacement of the windows, and subject to planning approval being given to begin the procurement process for the replacement of the windows. Item number 22, Tropicana Essential Works Public Tender. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Trainor, seconded by Councillor Andrews, to note the appointment of the preferred bidder as outlined within the officer's report for repairs and upgrades to the mechanical pool plant systems of the Tropicana seasonal swimming pool, and that officers will agree the terms and enter into a contract with the preferred bidder subject to AHC approval and prior to full council ratification of this report. Item 23, business case for Warren Point Community Centre. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Trainor, seconded by Councillor Andrews, to note the officer's report. And that was the end of the in-committee items, Chair.
Thank you, Donna. Great. Okay, so do you want to take Marie in, or do you want me to take, I know Councillor McKevitt and Councillor Andrews have both waiting to comment. Sarah, which would you prefer?
Chair, if I just read for the record, if it's okay, yes. The item, and then you can take the comments, just that we've got
no
them.
Problem.
Is that okay? So, yes. As I have been doing with every committee this month, I just have a statement that I want to read. So due to the current legislative uncertainty around remote meetings and the restrictions on indoor gatherings, I as Chief Executive have agreed to exercise my delegated authority under standing orders to implement the resolution of the committee once ratified by Council, subject to any conflict of interest or legal advice that the decision is unlawful. Thank you very much, Chair.
That's great. Thank you, Marie. Okay, so, Karen, you actually beat me to the post because I was going to say that this is my last meeting this evening from what, if I'm correct in saying, and that I've enjoyed it as being chair. And like, I'd like to thank everyone from officers, officials and all councillors. It's been a pleasure to chair, and thank you. Karen, if you want to come in there.
Yeah, thanks very much, Leanne. No, I just wanted to say to yourself and Gerry that you have chaired the meeting exceptionally well, and I think we've delivered a lot in this committee as team in the past 12 months and more. And so it was a delight to work under both of your roles, and I think you've chaired them exceptionally well. So just, I've no doubt you're not going anywhere, so we're not going to wish you well or anything like that. But just to say, you know, congratulations when it's due. So to both of you, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And it's hard to believe where the time's gone to since our first committee meeting under your stewardship last year. And I must say, it's been a very trying year with the pandemic, and then sort of like keeping your eye on screens and the chat column and everything. But I must say that you've chaired the meeting very well, along with Councillor Gerry O'Hare. The both of you have done an excellent job leading this committee. And as I say, it's a very good committee, and everybody gets on well together. And I would like to thank you and Gerry both for your kindness and your courtesies in the chair and vice chair respectively, and I wish you good luck. And as I say, it's still business as usual. And I'll say all the best.
Thank you. Yes. Andy?
No, wanted to thank you, Chair, for the way you've conducted the meetings. It's been very, very, you've been very good at it. It's been great to take part. As if it wasn't stressful enough, you went off and had a baby in the middle of it as well, which I congratulate you on. And then Gerry came in, or Councillor O'Hare, sorry, came in and, put his individual stamp on proceedings, which was also great as well. And I thank Gerry and Councillor O'Hare as well for that. So, no, thank you very much for how you've conducted it and how you've allowed the meetings to flow. So thank you very much. I'm sure hopefully see you soon rather than just a little pixelated square there, you know. And thank you. Bye now.
Yeah,
thanks,
Trainor.
Do you want to come in there?
Thanks, Chair, and it's just really to thank yourself and the Vice Chair, Councillor O'Hare, the job he's done this past year. And I think, as many have said, you know, he's been very fair. He's have kept the discussions flowing and he's allowed people their say. So, and that's important, I suppose. And this committee, I think, as Barra said there now, it's a great committee. You know, it's a committee where you're trying to deliver for communities. And the fact is, you know, there's very rarely you'll see a contentious item on this committee. And I have to say, I think we all kind of try and do our best for all of our communities. So, look, I want to thank you for how you have conducted yourself in the chairs. And I'd like to thank everyone else in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know, Jerry, but I'd be really embarrassed whenever people are blowing me off there. But look, thank you. You know, I couldn't have done it without Jerry, and even when I was off there. But no, look, thank you to all of you. As I say, I really enjoy it. You know, I've sat 2 years now on it, and I really enjoy it. So I would say I'm not get so lucky next year in the next term coming in, but really have enjoyed my time on it. So thank you to each and every one of you.
And the same here too, folks. So if I see you in a bar now, my pint is Carlsberg, so I have to have no call to ask, okay?
I tell you what, the famous Carlsberg, Graham. I'll take you up on that, so I'll
no problem, Terry. Thank you.
And as promised, I said we would wrap it up nice and early, so there's 7:25, so we'll call it a night. I have to go and let you
go. Cheers, Leanne.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you.